Right now, we go to the KODY phone lines. District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joins us for our weekly legislative update. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Damn great. How are you?
We're doing pretty well back here. Much needed rain and some moisture the past couple of days back here in the district.
There was some rain in Lincoln as well, but I did go down to the farm over the weekend and just a trace. So started center pivots to kind of water in chemical and fertilizer and kind of break any minor crust that might be out there to get crops up. So pretty dry in South Central Nebraska right now.
And while we're talking about that, Senator Jacobson, I think a lot of folks obviously know you as our District 42 Senator. They know you as the founder and the president of Nebraska Land Bank in North Platte and with locations spread throughout the region as well. But a lot of folks have just become familiar with your farming probably in recent years.
Well, it's been kind of a lifelong occupation of mine. I always wanted to farm since I was 5 years old. I wanted to be a farmer, and I always had other jobs so I could afford to farm. And actually, once I got into banking, I thought, gosh, I could probably do this as a career. So farming became more of a hobby. And fortunately, I'm a horrible golfer, so farming is my golf. So it's worked out well.
Well, you know, Senator, golf is just a tragic waste of good hunting and fishing space.
That is true. I can agree with you on that. I'd rather go hunting and fishing than golfing.
Now, Senator Jacobson, it was a busy week for you and your colleagues in the Nebraska legislature last week. I made a mental note, need to ask here as we begin, if I understand correctly, your priority bill that you prioritized in working with Senator McDonald, that had been amended late last week.
Yes, that's correct. What we're going to do is our plan is to get that in the budget and get it as an item. Get a fund established, and that may or may not get funded this year, but that we at least get it set up as a fund and have it in place. And you'll note that that we're working on final amendments, but one of the agreements that I had with the introducer, of course, Senator McDonald, was that I would prioritize the bill, but I wanted a hard designation that 15% of the funding would have to come to west of the 100th Meridian, and also it would be tied into someone with an Inland Port Authority. So that kind of narrows down where that would be.
Just a little specific.
So, and that would be, pardon me?
I said that's just a little specific.
Well, it's close enough to where it's not special legislation, but it does limit where that money would go, and it would be 15% of the funding that goes into this program. So, and again, I think we need to keep in mind that when we look at economic development, it takes all of these things together. The one reason we were able to get an Inland Port Authority was because we had the rail park, and we got the rail park and the Inland Port Authority because we also were located on Interstate 80. We have an airport with a long runway. We've got access to rail. And so all of those things working together make this work. And so as we move forward, it's going to continue to take coordination by the city, the county, the legislature. And if we all work together like we have been, I think there's a lot of great things that can happen to our region and District 42 as a whole. We need to understand that obviously to the extent that North Platte grows as a regional trade center, all of the smaller communities in the region will benefit. And that doesn't mean we make all of our investments in North Platte and in Hershey. But it also, as you recall, was able to get $10 million secured in the budget for replacement of the Halsey camp. And with it in the budget, and now that the budget's passed first round, it looks like we should get to the finish line with that $10 million of match funding from the state. And so we've got to continue to look at those strategic investments that we can make within the region. Obviously, we're going to have strong health care, strong schools, housing, retail. all of those things work together to make us a strong, viable regional trade center.
And Senator Jacobson, let's talk a little bit about that priority of yours. You were in a very unique position. We've talked about it several times here on the air, and it's been a couple of weeks, probably even a couple of months now. But you're in a very unique position where you might not have to prioritize any of your bills. So Senator McDonnell and his team kind of approached you about potentially prioritizing the bill that you would end up prioritizing. Like we said, last week it was amended into the budget, and things are looking promising for him.
Yeah, I feel real good about where we're at right now, and that's part of how things get done down here, is that when you come up with every bill you introduce, and I would tell you that I introduced 12 bills, and that's kind of the maximum that I'd really like to handle at any one year. Any of the veterans down here will tell you that it's, unless you're sitting on the Appropriations Committee or on the Revenue Committee, you know, to try to manage more bills than that becomes problematic. I would have to also say that one of the bills that I did introduce was a bill that would restore, give flexibility to our behavioral health regions to be able to have more flexibility in their budget. And I'm happy to report that my bill, 430, I believe it's 434, was included in intent language in the budget. With the intent that going forward, they would have 20% flexibility in their budget. Now, I want to caution that intent language means that the legislature is sending the message to DHHS that this is what we want done. Passing a bill directs them to do it. The intent language gives them that's our intentions. Now, in visiting with Kathy Sechrest, she's indicated to me that they did give them some additional flexibility this year over where they'd been, but not all the flexibility that I'm requesting. Now with this intent language, it should go to 20%. If it doesn't, I can still pass the bill and require that to happen. So we're going in the right direction, but that was a bill that I was able to get handled outside of legislation. I'm also going to be meeting with the insurance companies on two other bills. One has to do with life insurance assignments, and the other one has to do with Medigap. I have a commitment from the life insurance or from the health insurance companies that they will, in fact, agree to a Medigap coverage, and that they will do it without legislation. But they also understand that I will bring the bill. The bill's still alive. I've not pulled the bill, and that bill will get scheduled early this next session. If indeed they don't get it, we don't get a deal with Medigap on the off session. So it's always better to try to get an agreement without having to legislate it.
Sure.
But having that hammer of legislation is very helpful.
And Senator Jacobson, let's dive deeper into last week in the Nebraska legislature. State budget package clearing its first round. Obviously, that was a big center point for you and your colleagues.
Yes, it was. We basically took what started out as five separate budget bills and condensed them into three budget bills. One really had to do with the general fund, the general budget, what we'd like to refer to as the mainline budget. That would be LB 818. And then there's also the cash reserve, which would be LB 813. And then the other one would be for the adjustments, and that'd be LB 814. All three of those bills did get first-round approval, and so we finished that up on Friday. We'll come back this week now, and we'll go back to second-round approval on those bills. The budget needs to be approved by the 80th day, which would be May 18th. I would also tell you that what we approved in those three bills were the spending bills coming from the from the Appropriations Committee. But what we've yet to hear then is the Revenue Committee's reports, which would be tax reductions. And so that would reduce revenue. So through all this process, there's a little over $714 million that would be available after the spending. And so if we come in with the tax cuts, the Revenue Committee's original number was $870 million. We've got $714 million available. So something's going to have to give there. So that'll be a combination of probably rolling back the timing of the tax cuts, and it will also probably, to some extent, may mean some reductions in spending. That's why I don't take for granted that everything in the budget's going to get approved, that we approved this week. And then, obviously, the governor has line item veto ability as well. But in all likelihood, what we'll do is we'll probably delay the timing of some of the major income tax cuts. I think the property tax cuts are going to be solid. There will be a heavy fight to roll back any of that. And obviously, the school funding will stay prioritized. And we will provide the funding, the billion-dollar future fund, and then we'll also absolutely move forward with the $1,500 per student. I do not see that getting moved around. There's a strong interest in the body to start properly funding our public schools, and by so doing, take some of the pressure off of them relying upon local property taxes, which should force property taxes lower at the local level. And then we would continue to have the income tax rebate, and that number would continue to rise. So there's a real push this year in the legislature, and I believe will be a very successful push to once and for all make meaningful property tax reduction.
District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update on KODY's Mugs in the Morning. That budget package clearing its first round, as Senator Jacobson dove into with us. And Senator, during this conversation late last week, what's going on with the ongoing filibuster from a few of your colleagues?
Well, it's still continuing, and but I would tell you that it's kind of become a two-person filibuster. Because as we kind of had indicated in previous weeks, you know, there's two individuals that seem to be just totally focused on the social issues and preventing them. But many of their colleagues are more interested in getting their bills passed, and they know that their bills aren't going to get passed if we constantly waste time on filibuster. The other thing I might add is that the speaker on the budget bills is using what's referred to as the speaker's major proposal. And by doing a speaker major proposal, he can reorder the amendments, and so he can reduce some of the filibuster time. And that makes a difference as well. And then going late nights are helping us, because it seems like about 8 o'clock they're done. And so then they're going to generally pull their dilatory motions and allow things to get voted on so we can get out of there. So because of the omnibus bills, we're still going to get a lot of bills passed this year. We're going to make some meaningful property tax reduction, income tax reduction. I think when we get done with the session, we're going to find that it's been a very productive session in spite of the filibuster. I also wanted to mention before we left the budget, just one other thing. I've gotten a lot of calls from people saying, well, gee, we're spending all this money. We're giving all these tax cuts. This is unsustainable. We're looking at a recession. What are we thinking of? I want to remind everyone that our cash reserve fund, our rainy day fund, with what we've got budgeted and what we've got proposed through all of this, we will have approximately $1 billion left in our cash reserve fund. $1 billion. I would also tell you that if we go to all of the different agencies, and the cash funds that they have at the agencies. Now, some of those agencies have some of that money committed for projects, but there's about $8 billion held by the agencies for various reserves as well. So for those that are concerned about, gee, we're going to go spend every nickel and be in a problem, we're not. I would tell you also that when it comes to tax cuts, we need to remember that the reason we have this surplus is because we overtax those that are paying taxes. And so first and foremost, we need to take care of any major priorities that need to get done. And then anything beyond that needs to be returned to people that actually paid those taxes. And I can tell you from past experience, if we leave that money laying around, I'll guarantee you people will find a way to spend it. So I feel much better about giving the money back first.
Yeah, if it's laying around, everybody has the use it or lose it mentality, and it'll go for all kinds of things.
That's always been the case in the past, and I don't know why it would be any different in the future. So let's give the money back. And I would also tell you, it's truly amazing to me that just like when we're talking about income tax cuts and so on, so who paid the taxes to begin with? Well, we know who paid the taxes to begin with. But, gee, it's kind of amazing when it comes to giving it back, suddenly we want to change it and we want to give it back to people that didn't pay it in the first place. So I'm always confused by that logic. That's probably the biggest challenge I have down here, because I've been a businessman too long, and I just have a little trouble understanding some of the logic at times.
And Senator Jacobson, you brought up a minute ago the Appropriations Committee and their budget package. Obviously, the Appropriations Committee kind of front and center last week with everything going on budget-wise. But the chair of that Appropriations Committee, Rob Clements, I did not know was a man of so many hidden talents. I've got a little bit of audio here. There we go. Now you'll probably be able to hear that.
Is that him playing on the floor?
That's Senator Clements with the World Day of Prayer last week at the Nebraska Capitol. Senator Clements appears to be one of the gems of the state. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about him on or off the legislative floor, but I did not realize he had so many hidden talents, Senator Jacobson.
Well, Rob Clements is very soft-spoken. He's very, very smart. He's an actuarial by training. He and his family, he's got a twin brother, and his family has a little bank over in Elmwood, Nebraska, and he also does tax preparation. Rob is deeply religious and just a very solid individual, someone I've known for many years, being a fellow banker. But I can tell you, I have a great deal of respect for Rob. He's a very smart guy. He's very genuine. It's very hard for you ever hear him say something bad about someone else. He definitely wears his faith on his sleeve, and I respect him for that.
I was just amazed. I saw Governor Pillen's official Twitter account had released that video, and I thought, that looks like Senator Clements. And then upon further review, it was Senator Clements. And I thought, man, this is a guy with a lot of hidden talents. I like to hear him playing a little bit more on the legislative floor, maybe, Senator Jacobson.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Senator Bruce Bostelman, who's chair of the Natural Resources Committee, Bruce and I have gotten to be really good friends. I met him last year when I joined the Natural Resources Committee, and then, of course, serve on it again this year. He's a big Star Wars guy, and so he's got one of those. I don't know what you call it. The laser.
The
lightsaber.
Yes, there we go.
The lightsaber. That's the name I'm looking for. Lightsaber. He's got one of those. So he messes around with that when we're recessed and do the dinner break. The other day he had his lightsaber out.
That's one way to slash.
We do some fun stuff down here too.
That's one tool to use to slash taxes, I suppose.
Yes.
That is true. So even though people think it's a grind down here, we do have some fun every now and then. Now,
Senator Jacobson, looking at the week ahead for you and your colleagues, you mentioned it is day number 74. The budget needs to be submitted to the governor's desk by day 80, you said?
That's correct.
So will this week primarily consist of hammering down the budget a little bit more then? Is that your expectation?
It will. Yeah, we'll be focused on the budget this week, and we'll sprinkle in a few other things today, but for the most part, we're going to really be focused on the budget until we get that passed, and then we'll go back to getting some other things done. And stay tuned. There's some interesting things that may happen before the session gets over. It's kind of a mad scramble. I think everybody's starting to get the understanding that, we are day 74. The days are passing fairly quickly. And a lot of people are starting to focus on their bills. And I think when we start looking at the whole filibuster process, I think a lot of people are going to start figuring out that at some point here, we're going to have to keep moving forward if people want their bills passed.
And just to clarify, it's day 74 of 90. Is that correct?
That's correct. Day 74 of 90. So those are working days. So we actually, our last day would be the, is that technically June 9th, but June 2nd would be, I believe, would be the last full day. And then we come back a week later, and we, that's there to everything. We recess for a week. That gives the governor time to veto any bills, and then we could come back for one last day to override any gubernatorial vetoes. So that's how that works. But I think a lot of us are looking forward to the session coming to an end. You can only have about so much fun, and then you need to go back and do something different. And so that's kind of where I've been. I would have been back in the district this weekend, but it was a short weekend, and I really needed the break to go down to the farm. That's where I can kind of clear my head. And the good news is, and my wife and daughter are both very pleased about this, that I spent 2 days at the farm this weekend, and I have no Band-Aids on. I still have all my fingers and toes. So it was a successful weekend at the farm.
That's a victory on its own. And Senator, before you and your colleagues adjourn at the end of the session or the first part of this session, you'll need to pass the budget, but also voter ID has to be hammered out too among you and your colleagues, I believe, right?
That's correct. And we do have I think the agreements have been made now between the competing voter ID bills. I do get a number of emails on that, and I'm glad you raised that. I want to remind everyone that when it comes to voter ID, the voters voted for voter ID. Okay, they didn't vote for election reform. They voted for voter ID. And I think there are a lot of people that have expectations that there's going to be a major overhaul of how we vote in Nebraska. And I can tell you that a lot of those expectations would be unconstitutional. So there's been tremendous work done with Senator Slama, who had a voter ID bill, along with Senator Brewer, who chairs the government committee where the voter ID bill has been heard. And then there's also coordination with the Attorney General's office, former Senator Hilger's office. So they're working through the final terms of that bill to make sure that it's constitutional and that it covers everything that was supposed to be covered by the ballot initiative. And so I'm not privy to the final terms of that agreement, but that will be released fairly soon. But I will tell you, it's been a long negotiation. And what we end up with on the floor is going to be what we're going to vote for. And so there will not be a lot of time and a lot of ability to do a lot of changes. But I can tell you that it would have gotten thorough hearings and would have been vetted from a constitutional standpoint. And well, there may be some tweaks to it down the road, but we will meet what was expected by the voters when that bill comes to the floor. And that will get done here before the end of the session as well.
Senator Jacobson, during the final couple of weeks of the session, if folks want to get in contact with you at your District 42 office, how can they do so, sir?
Sure, they can email me at mjacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov, or they can call the office at area code 402-471-2729. And I do get a lot of emails. I try to respond to in-district emails. It's kind of amazing the number that I've received. I finally quit getting emails, I think, on LB 533, which was the medical marijuana bill. Thank you. Since that bill's not going to get heard this year, it's kind of a waste of time to talk too much about it. But as far as the bills that are left here, if you've got issues, let me know. And then, this summer, I plan to get out and hold some town halls and find out what's on people's minds and start looking at legislation for next year.
Well, Senator Jacobson, as always, we appreciate the time. Best of luck this week down at the Nebraska Legislature, sir.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen. See you later.